Open your Bibles, please, this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians, first of all. We're going to look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll start there. This is our text verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I began last Sunday, Psalms 118, this is the day the Lord's made, we'll rejoice and be glad in it. How many of you believe that with all your heart? Amen? I wanted to challenge you how to make every day count, and how to have a great year this year. If you wake up every morning, this is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. What a blessing it'd be. Now, all of that was in connection with the verse that I'm going to read to you here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And throughout this month of January, I'm talking about morning and night, whenever I'm preaching, we've got a lot of things going on this month. But I want to deal with this thought, and I may have to run it on out a little bit further, although we have a different theme for the month of February. But I want to read to you this passage of Scripture here, and it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 19. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? Now, if you're saved, this is a passage of Scripture to save people. And thank the Lord that Keith Langan got saved this past week. And they went Wednesday night prayer meeting, and the church greeted him and rejoiced in his salvation, and Miss Cindy. And so you pray for him. But when you get saved, what happens? The Holy Spirit of God convicts you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You don't make up your mind you're going to join the church or make up your mind you're going to be baptized, but God, the Holy Ghost, deals with you about sin. That's where it starts at. Jesus came to save sinners. And when you The Holy Ghost of God deals with you about sin. You realize you need a Savior. Something's got to happen. You've got to do something. He brings you to that place, an awesome conviction. And then it's a simple act of faith whereby you recognize you're lost, that He died for you. He was buried and rose again. And by faith, you receive Him, accept Him, call on Him as your Savior. And then the Bible says what happens is the Holy Spirit comes in our heart crying, Abba, Father. We're born again by the grace of God. Your body then becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's only true of people who are saved. So I'm preaching primarily to save people in this series. But it'll help us. And like Brother Brad said, it'll reap benefits, investment on return. As God works in our heart, then we'll be a greater blessing and we'll see other people saved. But here he said, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. Great attention was given to the temple. Great responsibility was in regard to the temple, the physical temple. And the same thing's true of me and you in this temple that the Lord has given us, whereby the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. He said, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You and I, who've been saved by the grace of God, have been purchased. The Bible said we were redeemed, not with silver, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us everlasting life. He saved us, and He forgave all of our sin, made us an adopted child into His family. But now that we're saved, we have some responsibilities. He said, because you're saved and because the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, you're to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Now, that's an act of effort. I'm not going to preach on this particular passage, but I do want to make reference to it. I didn't plan to, but I will. And it's another passage of Scripture where Paul is writing to the Thessalonian church. And in Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 4, he says that every one of us should know how to possess our vessel. Now, the Bible said that God has given this treasure in earthen vessels. So what he's talking about your whole body. He's talking about you. He's talking about your heart and your mind and your physical body. And the word possess means to have the mastery over. He's saying that as a Christian, that you ought to be in control of your body. You ought to be in control of your mind. You ought to be in control of everything, and it ought to be developed for the glory of God. Notice it is not a passive thing. It's not just a matter of not doing things. Not doing this and not doing that will make you a great Christian. In this passage of Scripture, he says this, that you're not your own, that you belong to God. for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And so there is an active participation on the part of believers. We get saved by the grace of God, but then we have a responsibility that as a Christian, we're going to glorify God. We're going to give glory by our life. We're going to give glory by our attitude. We're going to give glory by our love. We're going to give glory to God by our, whatever we do. Whatsoever we do in word or deed, we'll do it all for the glory of God. Amen. Now, what areas are we to possess? We are to possess our vessel. Everybody's got to learn to have the mastery over their vessel. That includes every facet of your life. That includes the physical part of you. That includes the sexual part of you. That includes the mental part of you, the heart of you, every part of your being, the whole man, the whole man. We're to have, let God give us wisdom how to have the master over it. So now, with that in thought, I want us to go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We have that choice to recognize this is the day God's created. We have that, and you can do anything you want. He said, we will. It's a resolve of the will. You remember I preached to you like that last week? The resolve of my will is I'm going to rejoice and be glad every day in the Lord and in what he does for me. Does that mean I won't have problems? No. Does it mean I won't ever get sick again? No. Does it mean I won't have tragedy to come in my heart alive? No. But it means that I am going to purpose in my heart to do that. Now, several years ago, my brother, who is retired now, and I'm old, so he's a lot older than I am, so he's really old. But he's retired colonel from the Army. And I remember several years ago, I don't remember the circumstance. I don't know if I was in school, if I was in whatever it was, but it was something. And in a conversation with my brother there and everything, and was talking about doing certain things, And he did like this. You can't see me on the internet. Well, you can't see me on the internet, but not on the radio. But I'm pointing to my head. And my brother Dallas said this. He said, well, if you'll get this right, everything else will be right. Now, he's talking about your mind. Get your mind right. Get your mind set. You make up your mind, you're going to do it. You make up your mind, you're going to achieve or be successful, you can do it. Now, that is a thought, isn't it? And it sounds like a good thought. But I want to tell you, there is some qualifications and there's some requirements for that to be a true statement. Why? Because the Bible said that you and I have a deceitful heart. Men who are lost, women who are lost, when they get saved, they have two natures. You've got an old man and you've got a new man. And you can do what you think or you can accomplish things by your thought process, but it has to be the right kind of thought process. Now, if you were here yesterday morning in the men's fellowship, Brother Gary Mayberry brought a tremendous message. And after it was over, I told him how it blessed me. And I said, it's amazing how God just kind of ties everything together with what's on my heart for this morning. Now, with that said, look at Proverbs chapter number 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, verse 7. And notice what it says in verse number 7. The admonition is warning. Solomon is warning his son, his descendant, about certain situations and social involvement, business encounters, and so on. And he makes this statement in Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Now, look at that first statement. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's great wisdom. It's not this that makes the difference. It's this that makes the difference. Not your physical brain, but it's your heart. Now, all of it's tied together. But it's interesting how the Holy Spirit of God used this statement. It's how you think in your heart that really makes the difference. He said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, that is that deep, that it's not what he says, not even what you see in his lifestyle, but it's what's way down deep in the heart that actually makes you what you are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, I want you to hold your place there. I'm going to come back to that. But go over to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And here is another passage of Scripture in the New Testament that would help us in that regard. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he's given them some admonitions. And in chapter 4, he makes this statement beginning at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. For those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I leave off the reading there. Paul gives this admonition to to the church at Philippi, and he said, if there's any good thing, you think about that. He said, if there's any honest thing, you think about that. Any just, pure, so on. Think about all those things. And then he says this thing. There's been a process in your life, he said, where you have learned, or you have both learned and received and heard. You've heard it. You received it. You've done. I want you to bow with me for prayer. Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God, help me. Father, I want to thank you that you saved us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that there are a great host of people in this building this morning who've been saved by the grace of God. And our Father, we thank you that, Lord, in the radio audience and in an internet audience, there are a great number of people who have been saved by the grace of God. Our Father, we rejoice in that. This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. But our Father, I pray, God, that in these next several days and sermons that, God, you put on my heart, that God, you'll deal with our hearts about our personal responsibility as a Christian. That we've been saved by the grace of God, and our Father, there are some things that you would have us to do, our Father, in regard to our temple maintenance, this temple that we have a heavenly treasure in an earthly vessel. And I pray, God, that, Lord, that you'd help me. God, you know my heart this morning. I only want to honor you and please you, and I pray, God, that, Lord, that you'd breathe on me. I acknowledge and confess that there's no good thing in me, and apart from what the Holy Ghost of God does this morning, nothing eternal will happen. But God, I pray you'd speak to me, speak through the message this morning. And God, I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in the building this morning and you've never had the Holy Spirit of God to come inside of you, if you've never been born again by the grace of God, please understand that we want to see you saved. I want you to know Christ as your Savior and Lord. And if you are saved this morning, I want you to understand that there's more to the Christian life than coming here on Sunday morning and sitting down. That's a great, wonderful thing. Now, I think you ought to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And it's a wonderful thing. But as a Christian, you have a personal responsibility. I have from time to time, and I do know that there's some element of truth to it. I've had people to say to me, not just in relationship to our church, but other churches. I have people to say to me that I left my church and I went somewhere else because I wasn't getting anything out of it. Well, I know there's a certain amount of truth to that sometimes I've been around enough to know that sometimes there's not much truth that comes out of the pulpit. I understand that. But that does not negate or take away the personal responsibility of you as a Christian for your own personal temple maintenance. You have responsibility. Inside of you lives the author of this book. And if you've got a preacher, if you're in the internet or radio audience, you've got to preach somewhere and he doesn't preach out of the truth of this book, get you an old King James Bible. Just get somewhere and ask the author of the book to help you. And spend time in the Word of God, spend time seeking God and praying and maintaining your own temple, and you'll see what God does. Now, here's an area that I want to deal with. And it's going to take me two sermons, and I'll have to quit on this one probably before I get through. And that is this idea of maintaining your Christian thought life. He said this, as a man thinketh in his heart, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You and I have responsibility for how we think. I want to read you a statement. Now, this is written a long time ago, but it says, liberty, and when you get saved by the grace of God, He said, therefore we have liberty, but use not your liberty for an occasion for the flesh. As he's talking about, say, you're saved, you're no longer under bondage, you're not under the law, but you don't use that liberty for an occasion of the flesh. And some people say, well, I'm saved and I do anything I want to. Number one, I question if anybody's really saved when they're like that. Because when I got saved, I was bought with a price. And the Holy Spirit of God came inside of me. And when he came inside of me, he brought with me the nature of God. And the Bible says, I have now become partakers of a divine nature. And inside of me, there is a Holy Spirit of God and a new man that wants to do right, that doesn't want to dishonor God, that wants to love him, wants to serve him. And God does something about your desires when you get saved by the grace of God. I don't want to do anything to dishonor him. Now, but he said, don't use that liberty that you have. Some people think, well, like Brother Gary spoke to the other morning, it's just kind of how you feel about it. Now, in our society, we have been so inundated with humanism and false thought that it, and I'll deal with that in a moment, but the thought patterns of people have been conditioned. Not just lost people, but saved people. Saved people who used to think something was wicked, they don't think it's wicked anymore. You know, and if they, you know, they have these thoughts that God is love, and if people really love one another, you know, it's okay. It doesn't matter. As long as they love one another. We just want everybody to love one another and be happy. That's not true from the Word of God. He came that you might have joy, that you might have the fullness of joy. He came that you might have peace. But it does matter how you think. He teaches that from the Word of God. Listen to this statement. Liberty in any form is not guaranteed by an edict or proclamation or slogans of some mob, but by order and discipline and fundamental self-control. That's how you have real liberty. And that is, if you have these things, order, discipline, and fundamental self-control. It is important that we live in those ways. By the way, Jesse Helms said that. Now, that might mean something to some of you, some of it might not. But he made that statement, that it's not just you do what you feel like doing. It's not doing what you think's right in your own eyes. You are set at liberty as a Christian to do right. That's what you're set at liberty to do. You're set at liberty to do right. And you're thinking. And if you live a life of wrong thought and an undisciplined Christian life, that's sin. He holds you accountable. And I'll show you that in a moment from the Word of God. He holds you responsible. You are a steward. People talk about stewardship, and stewardship means somebody has entrusted something to somebody else, and they're to be responsible. And so 99% of the emphasis in Christian circles in stewardship has to do with money, that God owns everything. All the money's his, all the gold's his, and so what you have is his, and you're to give him his tenth back in the tithe and so on. And they talk about stewardship. But do you understand this? He does hold you accountable. Moreover, it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. But it's not just finances. It's your very life. It's my body, I'll do what I want to. Wrong. It's his body. And you do what he wants you to do. He is the master of your life. He's the purchaser of your life. And your body is not your own. Not your own. A.B. Simpson is a famous Christian of days gone by, a great preacher. He had a sermon entitled Himself. And the way God spoke to his heart about this, Brother Simpson, he'd been having a very difficult time accomplishing his Christian responsibility and getting all his work done. And as he shared in that sermon, in that book, here's what he said. He said, so I went to God and I asked him to help me to think clearly. To think clearly. And he said, since then, I have been kept free from mental disability, and work has become a great rest. How do you think? What do you think? Everybody wants to know what we people think. What's on your mind? Christians have responsibility to think biblically, to think rightly, to think about the way God would have us to think. And it's possible. It is possible. when you go through the Bible, you'll find this. I won't go to all these scriptures this morning. But in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, it talks about childish thoughts. That there are some people who are Christians and they still have childish thoughts spiritually. There are some people in the Bible, in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he said we are to have sober thoughts. Proverbs 24, verse 9 says that it's possible for you to have foolish thoughts. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5, you can have evil thoughts. You remember that passage of scripture, Genesis, it's in regard to the flood. The Bible said when he saw man that every thought, every imagination was only evil continually. And did you know it's possible for society, for people to get to a place where every thought, every imagination is only evil continually? It has affected their mind. It has affected their mind. Then he said this. He said in Psalms number 10 and verse 4, there is godless thoughts. God's not in their thoughts. There is wicked thought in Proverbs 15, 26. There is a rewarding thought in verse 21 and verse 5. But now, turn in your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm not going to deal with this. I want you to note this verse and write it down if you don't turn to it, because you'll need to refer to it from time to time. Romans chapter 8, I call your attention to verse number 7. Verse 7. To do this, let me read verse 5 and 6 to give you to get to it. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, why is it that so many Christians don't have any peace? Because they're functioning in a carnal mind. They're living the old man over and over again. And then it said this, verse number 7. Listen, because the carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Carnal mind, human mind. You say, well, I think this, and I think, understand this, that when man sinned, Adam sinned in the garden, everybody born in Adam's race since then had the nature of Adam. They think like Adam. Their mind functions like Adam. It is a carnal mind, like Adam in the garden. And that their thought process is messed up. It's short-circuited. And they don't think rightly. They don't think the way God would have them to think. And so you say, what were they thinking when they did that? They were thinking they were doing what was okay. What were they thinking when he or she said that? They were thinking with a carnal mind. They thought it was okay. I think it's right. I think it's okay. It makes sense to me. But understand that you got a real problem. Real problem. When a person, and Ms. Linda's here, and Ms. Sivia's here, but when a first person has a stroke, there's nothing wrong with their limbs. They still have the same muscle tissue. They still have the same blood coursing through their vein. But what happens when you have a stroke is there's a bleed in the brain, and it short-circuits the thought process. And so there's nothing wrong with the arm, although it won't work, because the mind controls it. And when the mind is messed up, you may want to raise your hand, but you can't raise your hand. Thank the Lord how God's blessed these two ladies and others through physical therapy. They've retrained their mind. But you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that your mind, if you have a stroke, it affects how you function in your body. On the spiritual side, your mind is messed up. There has been a total breakdown, a full stroke spiritually. You have what's called a depraved nature. Jesus put it this way, the lust of your father, you'll do. That's why people can't control their emotions. That's why they can't control their bodies if they're not saved, for sure. is because they've had a spiritual stroke. And they can't do. They just can't. There's none that understandeth, he said. They don't understand because they've got a mind. And the Bible said on top of that, Satan hath blinded the minds of them who believe not. People can't understand. They can't comprehend. I don't have a bit of problem believing the Bible. I don't have any problem at all believing there's a heaven and a hell. Amen. But if I was lost, I probably wouldn't believe that because of the way my mind worked. It was a carnal mind. It was a depraved mind, a wicked mind. But my dear friend, listen, God has a plan for us. And he said that carnal mind is enmity against God. You say, well, God doesn't care. I want you to look with me, please, at a couple of passages of scriptures. Look at the book of Psalms, first of all. Psalms number 94. Psalms number 94 and verse number 11. What are you thinking today? How do you think? Well, I don't think that's right, preacher. Well, what does the Bible say? I don't think there's anything wrong with that, people say. I think it's all right. I might not want to do it, but if they want to do it, it's all right. I think they ought to be able to do what they think is right. Is that good thinking? Well, not according to the Bible. Notice what it said in the book of Psalms, number 94 and verse 11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. That means that they're empty. And he said, God knows your thoughts. Go over to the book of Ezekiel, just in Psalms. Now go towards the Old Testament. You'll come to what's called the major prophets, and you'll see the book of Isaiah, and you'll go on by Jeremiah, and you'll come to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 11, and look at verse number 5. Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse number 5. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak, thus saith the Lord. Thus have ye said, the house of Israel, for I know the things that are in your mind, every one of them. Wow. Now, you get this picture. God right now knows everything that's in every person's mind in this building. He knows everything you're thinking. And you think some things you wouldn't say. But he knows what you're thinking. And he holds you accountable for those things. He holds you accountable for your thought life. And you and I have got to learn how to maintain our temple. This is part of our temple, that thought process, that Christian thought pattern. What about it? The right thought, if you go through the Bible, he commands you to think rightly. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 16, he tells verse number 8, rather, it says we're to think rightly. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7, he said what we are to think about sin should cause us to repent. He said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You have responsibility for your thought pattern to be like Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's not how I think, but it's how Jesus thinks, and I ought to get to the place where I let Jesus' thought be my thought. There's warnings in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 9 about thought. He counsels about that. There's certain thoughts in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 that is under his curse. And then in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 7, he says this. He said, you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and with all your mind. You love him with all your mind. Now thought, kids naturally think. You have a mental faculty, and they think about things. I watch the grandbabies. They know where their nose is at. That's a major accomplishment. I know where my nose is at. This is my nose. This is my eye. This is my ear. You ask them, is it? And they're learning. They're thinking. And you look at them sometime, and you wonder what they really are thinking, you know, with their mind. They're learning. Thought, my dear friend, is part of us. I remind you once again, a lost person has a carnal mind. You and I who are saved, we still have an old mind, so we still have some thought process like the old man. Thought is not an accident. It is a process. It's a process. And you and I can learn to control under the presence and power of the Holy Spirit of God, how we think. How we think. He said in the book of Mark, turn over there, Mark chapter 7. I think you need to see this verse. Mark chapter 7. Are you still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I hope God will help us before it's over with to learn something. Because I see people around the house of God and other places, and I can tell most of their problems, how they think, how they approach things. By the way, we rejoice and thank the Lord about Brother Donnie, how God did a work in his heart and life. Now, God doesn't heal everybody that has cancer. And you can do what I'm fixing to say, and still, God may choose to let you go home. Sooner or later, you're going to go home somehow. I was reading the other day in the Old Testament that Elisha, the great man of God who had a double portion of the spirit of Elijah, he fell sick and he died. He died of a sickness. And so, you know, good people die of a sickness. But one of the things the doctors told Donnie at Chapel Hill, they said, your attitude has done as much toward your healing as anything. Now, Donnie acknowledged the fact that God did. But it's the way he thought about it, his approach to it. And your thinking affects you. And look with me in Mark chapter number 7 and look at verse number 21. He said, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. For all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now, you understand, he's saying that the reason people murder is because of the way they think. The reason they rape is because of the way they think. And the reason they commit adultery or sexual sin outside of marriage is how they think. So to me, it would seem just really, really smart and logical that we'd learn how to have the right kind of thought pattern. And understanding that God makes it possible for us to have that right kind of thought pattern, and that God holds us accountable not only for what we say or do, but what we think. I would think, according to the Bible, that it'd be a good idea for us to learn how to think right. How do you do that? How do you do that? It is a process. There is something on the inside, first of all, that affects how you think. In this passage, he said, out of the heart of man proceedeth these evil things. Now, if you're saved by the grace of God, he's put a new heart inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, and he can guide you in your thoughts. It's from the inside. Also, it comes from outside or external. That is, things affect my thought. I have a certain way I think. As a Christian, I have a certain way of thinking, or people have a certain way of thinking, because they're lost, their mind's depraved and wicked. But all of those things can be conditioned. A Christian can, his thought pattern can be affected. It can develop. A lost man's thought pattern can develop. When a little child, when you look at anybody who would cut somebody's head off, or somebody who would rape somebody or murder somebody, if you go back far enough in their life, you'd find that they were what we'd call innocent children. They had an old depraved nature, and but somewhere along the line, they have been, something outside of them has molded their thought pattern, how they think. Media has been brainwashing America's youth and adults for years and years and years. Things that were on TV a long time ago, you and I mean, they wouldn't let, the married couples didn't even sleep the same bed. I mean, if there was a sitcom, if you notice, they were in separate beds. And all those things. But over a period of time, people have been conditioned to where not being married is okay, being homosexual is okay, and I may not do it, but they have a right to do it. If they love one another, they have a right to do it. And you'd be surprised in this building and in the radio audience how many young people who are raised around you don't think like you think. Because they're outside stimulus. Not only some of them not saved, but even saved people, because of their brain waves and what has and input in them, the outside stimulus. What goes in? Somebody said it's, you know, pretty simple, garbage in, garbage out. But it's more to it than that. And I want you to understand that when you get saved by the grace of God, you have an old nature, you have a new nature, but God holds you accountable for developing spiritually and learning to think right and learning to base what you believe through the work of the Holy Spirit of God in your life and how you have been affected. Outside stimulus, outside affects you. It is fueled by information and facts and exposure. Whatever you expose yourself to, whatever music you listen to, whatever reading you do, whatever TV you watch, it affects you mentally. You may not realize it, but it is. It's all going in your computer, and it's going in. And sometimes you're going along there, and I'm not a computer. Gary's a computer man, and all these other Jim and all these guys computer. But you can be going along and everything's just fine. All of a sudden, everything in there goes haywire. Because somewhere along the line, you went on a website or you went somewhere or somebody else picked, and you picked up some spyware or you picked up, what is that thing goes through there? Virus. And now your computer, it doesn't think right anymore. Why? Because some outside influence has come in and affected it. And that happens to Christians. It happens to lost people. Wicked men, the Bible said, will wax worse and worse. They wax worse and worse. Why? Because of the culture they live in, because of the climate they're in, because of the exposure they're in. I mean, if you're under such pressure emotionally and physically and financially every other way, and you can't find any rest and any peace, and you got this other guy on the other side over here, and he's been telling you about some sort of drug. If you'll take this drug, it'll help you to relax. Everybody needs to relax and to clear your mind and everything else. And if he sells you that long enough, and you get so desperate after a while, you'll take a drug. You'll do something. And you've been conditioned to think that way. I'm telling you that temple maintenance requires that you and I learn how to think right and to be what God would have us to be. It is fueled by outside information and by facts and by environment, what you're around, every bit of it. Now, that function of your mind, it's developed. He says this in the book of Romans. Go over to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Why is it that things have changed so? We say in our society, book of Romans is written not very long after Christ died, and maybe 60 years or so after Christ died. And it's like Brother Gary read a passage of Scripture yesterday, but I want you to look at verse number 21 of Romans chapter 1. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. That's their thought patterns. And their foolish hearts were darkened. And the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And these wicked things proceed out of the heart, out of the thought patterns of man. When people get to the place where they don't want God in the public school, they don't want to read the Bible, they don't want to believe the Bible, they don't want to believe what grandma believed, or grandpa believed, or the preacher believed, anybody else. And they want to have intellectual freedom to think and do like they want to, and they're gonna do that come hell or high water, and I promise you, hell's coming quicker than the high water, and they're gonna think that, and so they don't want to retain God in their knowledge. They said when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Watch this. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Fools. How can an evolutionist look at me and I say I believe in intelligent design? I believe there's a creator who fashioned everything, created everything. They said, that's foolishness. I believe in the Big Bang Theory. I believe that all this came out of nothing. One day there was a big explosion, it all came out. And since then, things have evolved. You know, we were one time, you know, a little wiggle tail in a pool of water. And, you know, after a while, the tail fell off and they got out and started walking on the ground. And then they were primate and then, you know, they climbed trees, eat bananas and everything else. And then, you know, after a while, they stood more erect. And after a while, they started, you know, building a fire. And after a while, they put on clothes. And then after a while, they went to Washington. And Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They won't believe God. Why? It was the way they were thinking. They didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. Notice what it says. And they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into the image made like unto the corruptible man and of birds and the four-footed beast and creeping things. Watch this. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of the woman unto that which is against nature. And likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of evil, murder, deceit, debate, deceit, maligny, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despisers, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient parents without understanding, covenant breakers without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have the pleasure, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, this is not long after Christ died on the cross, buried, and rose again. Paul's writing about people going through this process of where, because they have a wicked nature and they don't want to believe the gospel, they don't want to believe in God, they don't believe there's a creator, they try to get rid of him. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. The natural course is that they degenerate. They do not elevate. They degenerate. And then they come to this place where God turns them over to a reprobate mind. Do you understand that it's all tied to the mind and heart? It's how they think. It's how they think. The only hope for that is for thinking to change. I cannot sit down and reason to anybody who is an adulterer or who is a murderer and rationally talk them out of being an adulterer or rapist or whatever. I can't do that. I don't have, not only do I not have the ability, it is an impossibility. Amen. The Bible said the carnal mind is at enmity against God and cannot be subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. I can't do that. What's got to happen is this. It's the whole process. I don't understand computers. I talked to Brother Gary yesterday, and he was doing some computer work. I do know this, that if you have a virus, you may lose some of your files, or you may lose this, that, and the other. But the only hope of that thing is that it could somehow or another be completely redone. I think it's more than rebooting it. I don't understand that. But it's got to be completely remade or redone. Got to be that way. I cannot make a law that would cause you to live right. I can't intellectually explain to you to do right. There's got to be something happens internally that affects the thought process. And then there's got to be a process afterwards. When a person is sick, pneumonia, they have inside them a virus. I think it's a virus. April could tell us. But they have a virus. It affects them. Affects your breathing, all those things. They may give you some sort of medication for it. And after a period of a week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, you'll be over the virus. Your blood work shows it's no longer in your system. But you'll be weak as a kitten. It'll take you a while to ever get on your feet. You'll have to go through a nutritional plan. You'll have to go through an exercise plan. It'll take some time. And when God does a work in a heart, He can give you a new heart, give you a new thing of thinking. But there is a growth process after that. When a person gets saved by the grace of God, say, thank God I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. That's a wonderful thing. And you are. Your sins are gone, past as far as the east is from the west. Thank the Lord for that. But I'm telling you, there's a growth process after that. What you listen to will affect you. If you get saved by the grace of God, you can't keep on listening to the same kind of stuff you listened to before you got saved. You won't ever grow. You can't be involved in the same activities that you're involved in that might not be biblically right. But you've got to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some in. You need to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. And he talks about those who have their senses exercised to discerning both good and evil. There's a spiritual exercise. And it has to do with your thought pattern. Your thought pattern. That thought is condemned. I could give you several verses along that line. But there is corrupted thought. And so it's got to be. But then there is controlled thought. I'm almost through. I'm almost through for this morning. I'm going to just uncouple here in a few minutes. I want you to look with me, please, in the book of 2 Corinthians. You need this. You find this. You write it down. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, I want you to look with me, please, at this passage of Scripture. Look at chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, first of all. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5. He says this. Now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given to us the earnest of his Spirit. When you get saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit of God comes into your heart and life. He comes in and gives you everlasting life. He saves you and makes you part of the body of Christ. And what a blessed thing that is to know that you're saved by the grace of God and that he's given you everlasting life. My dear friend, you and I have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or to think. And we come to know him. His thought is in us. His life is in us. And we have this thing, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we are able to ask or to think. Notice, if you will, please, again in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. In chapter 4, I read a passage of Scripture to you earlier today. But in chapter 4, look at verse number 7. And he said this, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus." He'll keep that. He'll keep every bit of that. He'll give you peace and everything. It's the work of the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. It's totally, you're totally dependent upon him. I have to look to him. I have to depend on him. I have to trust him and let him do that. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, he said, "I am to gird up the loins of my mind." That is that I'm going to discipline myself. Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, I'm able to have peace. I'm able to have the right thought pattern. But I have responsibility to do that. Now, how do I do that? How do I come to that place? Two passages of Scripture. I'm through. Go to the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I call your attention to verse number 2. In Romans chapter 12, this wonderful passage of Scripture where Paul's challenging us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." Conformed means to be pressed into their mold. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God." Now look, you have inside of you the Holy Spirit of God who thinks like God thinks. You have inside of you the Spirit of God who knows what God wants in your life. And he said, if you'll gird up the loins of your mind, if you'll make an effort to do this, you'll say, "God, I want to block out everything that's not going to help me. I want to have everything that's going to help me." And then he said in the book of Romans, he said, you are to present your body as a living sacrifice, just like A.B. Simpson did when he said, "God, you've got to help me think clearly. You got to help me think right." You come to God and say, "God, now you help me. I want you to help me. Lord, help me." And he said this, when you do that, when you begin to look to him, there's a transformation to take place. Transform By the renewing of your mind. God working in your mind. God working in your mind affects your body. God working in your mind will affect your spirit. God working in your mind will affect your affections. God working in your mind will do all those things to you. And it'll make a great difference in your life. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, I'll read you one verse, verse number 23. You don't need to turn to it. But he said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's through the Holy Spirit of God. Renewed in our spirit through the Holy Spirit of God working inside of us. He's able to do that. He's able to work in our mind and to bring us to that place. How's that? I come to that place where I yield myself totally to God. And I said, God, now you help me to think right. I'm going to gird up the Lord into my mind. I'm not going to let anything in that would hinder me. Now, there's a lot to that, and I have to deal with it later. But I'm telling you, it's absolutely impossible for you to think right without being a Christian. Being a Christian does not guarantee that you're going to think right all the time. There's a discipline to it. There's a presenting of your body, a living sacrifice. There's a surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible does clearly teach that every thought can be brought into the captivity of Christ. That every person, a Christian, can learn to think like Christ. But you've got to understand, it is a conditioned thing. You can't be involved in certain things. You can't listen to certain things. You can't be exposed to certain things and think rightly. It's just not going to happen. But you've got to learn this. You've got to learn to present your body a living sacrifice, be transformed through the work of the Holy Spirit of God, gird up the Lord of your mind, and my dear friend, God will do a wonderful work inside of you. What will that bring? What will it help you to do? Through that will come purity. Through that will come power. Through that will come a prayerful spirit. Through that will come a praiseful spirit. My dear friend, if you'll learn to think right, God will give you a peace, a peaceful spirit that passeth all understanding. You can trust Him. I marvel. I shared this with you 1,000 times, I know, but it always, if you read the life of Job and all that he went through, and Job came to a place in his life when he'd lost his family, he lost his income, he lost his own personal health. He sat on an ash heap, scraping himself with a piece of ash. His wife said, Job, why don't you curse God and die? He said, you speak like a foolish woman. And he goes on, he says this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do you think that way? I sense in Job on that particular occasion a great peace. He lost everything, but he still had peace. I see it in his life. People talk about the patience of Job. Boy, it's the peace of Job that amazed me, that he could have such a peace and contentment. I don't want to do things that's wicked. I don't want to do things to dishonor God or to dishonor my family. But if I don't think right, I will. I will. You will. It is important that you and I learn how to think right. We have the Holy Spirit of God in our life, at our disposal. We must present our bodies a living sacrifice. Do you want that? Do you want to have that, to be able to think right, live right? The way you think is going to affect how you live. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The way you think is going to affect who you are and what you do. I want us to bow together for a word of prayer this morning. And I know for a Sunday morning series, it's a little different. But most of you here on Sunday morning, and I want us to get thinking right. I want us to get to place. There are many facets to this. Many facets to possessing our vessel. Part of it has to do with our thought process. Part of it has to do with our tongue. Part of it has to do with the physical aspect of it. And I need God to help me in a lot of areas there. But I'm going to tell you, not one of you in here this morning who's a Christian, you don't have to think carnally. You don't have to think like the world. But you've got to have your heart surrendered to God completely. You've got to present your body as a living sacrifice. You've got to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit of God in you. And then you've got to feed that spirit man, that new man in you. Your thoughts are conditioned by what you read, by what you see, by what you hear, by what you're exposed to. And my dear friend, you've got to be around the right things, believe the right things, and it'll affect the way you live. It'll affect you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, God, will do a work in God's people. I pray, blessed Lord Jesus, that God, that you'd help me as a pastor. I pray, God, that not only could I preach the truth, but I could live the truth. I pray, God, for every saint in this building, everyone in the radio audience, everyone. God, help us to know that, Lord, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a woman thinks, so is she. And God, help us to think right. Our Father, we recognize as a Christian, we have an old man, we have a new man. Help our thought pattern to be dictated, not by the old man, but by the Spirit of God, as we present ourselves a living sacrifice. Our Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, that you'd move in the heart of those who may not know Christ. Our Father, there are men who've done things that were unthinkable at one point in their life. But because they were lost and because they didn't have a right thought pattern, God, they did things that they have regretted over and over again. And God, I pray, God, that, Lord, that you'd help people who don't know you as Savior this morning. God, speak to their heart. I pray, God, that you'd deal with them about their sin and about the Savior who loved them. And I pray, our Father, that they could be saved this morning. They would become partakers of a divine nature. The Holy Spirit of God would come into them crying, Abba, Father. And then our Father to be their guide for life, to help them. And as they begin to think rightly according to the Word of God. And I pray, Father, you'd speak now, and we'll think in Jesus' name. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, I know these are some things you got to digest, you got to think about. But I want you to understand, just bottom line is this, I want to be where I can understand it. And if I can, most of the time, if I can get it down where I can understand it, just about everybody else can. The way you think affects how you live. And it affects everything about your life. And we've got to think rightly. And it's got to be not just because of my own personal mental faculty, but it's got to be that tremendous influence of the Holy Spirit of God inside of me. We have the Holy Spirit of God inside of every believer to be our guide. We have the Word of God that He uses to speak to us. We must present ourselves a living sacrifice, and that we might be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's going to be the work of the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God. And that we would understand that we have a responsibility to gird up the loins of our mind, to discipline ourselves, and God, that we just trust God. I wonder this morning, how many of you are Christian this morning? If we think rightly, that doesn't mean we won't ever have any fear, but it will affect us tremendously and give us a peace, regardless of what's going on in our life, what's going on in the world. If we have the right thought pattern, if we know that God's in control, that all things do work together for good to them that love the Lord, those truths have got not become just slogans or not just verses in the Bible, but they got to be part of our thought process. And it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit of God. How many of you say, Brother Bill, I'm a Christian? But I do know that I want God, the Holy Spirit, to help me. And I would love for every thought of mine to be brought into the captivity of Christ. I'd like for to think as He thinks, and as a Bible teacher, I want to come to that place, and I'm willing to practice temple maintenance that I can develop spiritually mindedness in my life. And preacher, will you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? And as you raise your hand, I'm raising mine. I ask you to help me as a preacher to pray that way too. Thank you so much. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you may be a visitor guest, you may never plan to ever come again, and I've not preached primarily to the lost people this morning. But if you do not know right now that you'd go to heaven when you die, and you say, preacher, I would love for you to pray for me. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth about the Bible, truth about life and death. I want to know the truth about heaven and hell. And I want to know the truth, and then I want to be able to respond to that truth rightly. And preacher, will you pray for me? I want to assure you, if you're a visitor guest, I'm not going to embarrass you, not going to single you out, not going to try to cut you off or meet you anywhere in the hall. I'm available to talk to you, but I would not embarrass you for anything in the world. And you say, preacher, if I died now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Will you pray for me? Would you raise your hand in the building this morning? Across this building. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, you think about any great Christian you've ever known. Whether you knew them personally, if you just knew them through history books or through Christian literature, men like Billy Graham, D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, great, great Christians of our day. You know why they were what they were? Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. It is the grace of God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit of God in them. It's the way they thought. It's God put things in their heart. He taught them from the Word of God. Their thought life affected their walk. It affected their way they did their business. It affected everything about them. It's how they thought. They learned through the exposure of the truth in their life, administered by the Holy Spirit of God. They learned to think right and live right. Things that other people thought was nothing wrong with that, they thought there was something wrong with that because it would not help them. If it would not help them, it more than likely would hurt them. They learned to think right. And I pray God to make it real to us. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes are closed. Brother Brad, we're not going to do a long invitation this morning, but I want you just to do something, a verse, a song, or whatever. And Brother Tim's going to come with a few announcements, and then we're going to go. I've got a quick couple of announcements just before we leave. What are you thinking about this morning? What's on your mind? What? How do you think? How do you feel about it? People say, how do you think? How do you feel about this? Well, the way you think, the way you feel has to do with what you've been exposed to by what the Holy Spirit of God has been allowed to do in your life. Present your body a living sacrifice. I wished I could tell you that when you get saved, He'd screw the top of your head off and pour in everything that ought to be in there. But He made us accountable for our thought process. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, He said. If there's any good thing, honest thing, think. You have that responsibility to think on those things. Study, to show thyself approved unto God. Set no evil thing before your eyes. We have responsibility in this thing, but it's possible that we could think and every thought be brought into captivity of Christ. He can make it real in our lives. Brad, you're just going to come, and if he wants to play a song or sing a song or whatever, if you need to just come get around this altar this morning, say, God, I want to have that peace of God that passes all understanding. I want to do right. I want to think right. I want to think the right things about God, about the Bible, about lost people, about my family. I want to have the mental ability to do what's right. If you need to come, you come right now. Come on right now. If God spoke to your heart in any way, what we think is what we really are. It's a biblical principle. The world may steal it, may rob it and pervert it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.